God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
This lovely letter came to me just a week or so ago, which I thought illustrates very beautifully this simplicity of life that we should be aiming at. She writes, "As a blind mother, I often worried about my inability to take my children out and about, for example, to the swimming pool, the library, or the zoo, as I would wish. Lord, I cried out one day, my child is missing out on so much because of my inadequacy. The busy world seemed to pass me by, and I felt inferior to those other moms who were packing such delicious things into the development of their little ones. My child, of course, was unaware of this struggle. Her days were filled with me. She was a contented, fat, and laughing baby, curious about everything within her small world, oblivious to what she was missing. One day, I questioned God once too often about the things that she lacked because of me. And He questioned me back, 'Did you ever consider that my desire for this child is not to be running here and there and everywhere like other children?' She says, 'I had prayed for this child. He had given her to me, not to any other mother. He had chosen this mother for her, not a more capable, exciting, stimulating mother.' I was humbled by this revelation and began to wonder what great plans He had for her, that she needed that peaceful, boring, early experience. Now, years later, in the midst of her busy, often chaotic teenage schedule, I realize what a treasure it is to have grown up in a home of peace and quiet. Those were precious days of fellowship between a mother and her child. What a time of undistracted love and mutual enjoyment. This child now embraces life with inexhaustible and inexhaustible exuberance, yet still knows how to draw away by herself and enjoy solitude as well. Are you fathers and mothers training your children in quietness, solitude, silence? My parents taught us to sit still. We had to sit still at the table. We had to sit still at family prayers. We had to sit still in the car. There were no seat belts in those days. And of course, we had to sit still in church. There were no children's churches in those days. It's possible to teach an 18-month-old child to sit still. Did you know that? You probably didn't know that. But my parents knew that, and they practiced it. They put it into practice. And my daughter has a quiet hour every afternoon. Those who are of napping age nap. Those who are beyond that, which is usually around 2 or somewhere between 2 and 3, everybody must be in a room alone, and they must be there for one solid hour, and it is clearly understood that they may not come out of the room. There are no drinks of water and no trips to the bathroom. That has been taken care of beforehand. For those who don't read time, she puts a timer in the room, so they can't be running into Mama's room and saying, "Can I get up now? Can I come out now?" They have to be quiet. They cannot play any music. They cannot use any tapes. They cannot play any games. They cannot talk. They have to amuse themselves. And it is amazing what sudden silence descends on that house of 8 children. It is magic, and it's my daughter's salvation, because she gets a 20-minute nap every afternoon. She can go to sleep just like that because it's habitual. And then she gets up and does things for 40 minutes that she couldn't do if she had all the children underfoot. I just want to encourage you that it is possible to simplify your life. And those children have learned an absolutely priceless discipline: solitude and silence. Jesus went away to lonely places. He got up, the Bible says, a great while before day. a great while before day, and he taught us to be like that blind mother's little baby, perfectly contented with the simple life. But somebody, I'm sure, is sitting there thinking, but I have no quietness, no solitude. Learn to practice the presence of God in your kitchen, in the schoolroom, in your workplace, in your car, in your neighborhood, at the computer. When I sit down to my computer, I can see a little slip of paper that I have taped to the bottom of it, and it says, Lord, when thou callest me from this deliciousness of employment, may I pass to the employment of angels. And that's not Elizabeth Elliot's original, of course. My work at my computer, of course, is writing, and I don't consider that recreation at all. Humanly speaking, I wouldn't call it deliciousness of employment. But I'm learning that if this is the thing God wants me to do, I want to find joy in that. And when this task is finished, may the day come when I will be given the employment of angels. An oblation in that first encounter early in the morning. Make an offering or an oblation of each task as the day goes by, each new thing. If you go to the grocery store, make an oblation of that trip when you get into the car to leave or when you walk into the store. And of course, you don't have to do anything visible or audible to other people. Amy Carmichael loved her itinerant evangelism for those 6 years. And Christ was with her in the bullock carts and in the tents and in the hot, dusty villages. But she also found the presence of Christ in the nursery when she began to rescue those little children. Christ was present. Christ is present in the hospital, in the prison. I'm sure most of you know that Fanny Crosby was blinded when she was about 6 weeks old through a doctor's mistake. And when she was 9 years old, she wrote this very remarkable little poem. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. And I used that on my radio program one day, and I got a letter from a prisoner. And he paraphrased it. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I am not free. I am resolved that in this cell contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm chained, I cannot and I won't. Jesus says, lo, I am with you all the days. All the days. I remember one morning waking up in the jungle. I was on the usual 3-day trek from the last mission station to where I was living with the Alcas. And we had no airstrip at that time, so we had to walk 2 days by foot and 1 day by canoe. And that particular night, we had done half of the canoe trip, and then we stopped, and the Indians made a little shelter for me out of leaves, and my daughter and I slept in that, and then they made their own leaf shelters, and they kept the fire going. And during the night, it began to rain, and it poured and poured and poured. Those Indians had the genius of being able to build a little leaf house in about 15 minutes that could withstand a whole night's heavy downpour. When I woke up that morning, I can assure you, I did not relish the idea of getting in those canoes and starting out in that downpour. And I just felt as if I cannot stand this one more time, because it can be very cold and miserable sitting in the bottom of a dugout canoe in about 8 inches of cold water and the water pouring down on you all day long. What a day, I was thinking. How miserable. And the Lord reminded me, lo, I am with you all the days, this day and every day. I will never leave you or forsake you. Just accepting the simple word of God is such a marvelous simplifier in our lives. We stew and sweat and strain and complain. And the Lord, in quietness and gentleness, is saying to us, I am with you. I haven't let go of you. I know exactly what's happening. It gives us stability of spirit. Paul wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," and I love the translation that says, "I am absolutely sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a simplifier. A steadfast heart, absolutely sure, leads to a simpler life, utterly at rest in the promises of God. And lastly, the most important thing about my having a simple life is that I will be beginning to be qualified by the grace of God to bring peace and simplicity and quietness to somebody else. And we should be the sort of people who walk into a room and bring the peace of Christ. Instruments of peace, as St. Francis of Assisi prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." Worry has no place in a steadfast heart. And to eliminate worry is to bring great simplification to your life. I pray that God will give me the kind of attitude that brings quietness and stability and equanimity, evenness of mind, calmness of temper. And you mothers of young children, you have to teach your children to be calm, and you will do that most powerfully by example.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.